And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Hi.
Bust my ass more.
There's Pappy.
Yeah. Hello.
So this all worked out really well.
Yeah, except for me.
What, you're here?
Still wearing my goddamn compression shorts.
Well, I'm sure they look sexy.
Oh, no, they look great, but my balls aren't breathing at all.
Well, there you go. That
nice
could be
to
a problem.
Meet you, dude.
yeah, basically.
Hi.
Hi, hello.
Hey.
I'm the serious member of the cast.
That's perfect. That was great.
You're the first human I've ever met whose balls I pictured before I've properly kind of been introduced to them.
I like to establish dominance.
I want you to think about my balls first.
Live. No, yeah, we don't edit.
Yeah, we there's no edits.
Yeah.
So that's the other. I guess that's probably the other thing we should have mentioned. Try to say anything that you would be perfectly fine with being on the internet forever.
We have edited three times in 160 episodes.
Yep,
I think only twice actually.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah,
twice.
What? Yeah,
twice. That it takes.
Actually, I guess I should ask. Like, yeah, I'm sort of settling into. Idea that swearing and so on is not too much of an issue on here.
Oh, by all means, bring it on.
I think generally it's been engendering a lot of goodwill. We've had a lot more people wanting to do the show because I think word's gotten out. Like, you can just say whatever the fuck you want. It's not a PR thing. Oh, cool. I'm in.
Okay. Cool.
Well, and funny thing is that it's actually starting to gain some people some decent popularity with their projects. So, I mean...
Yeah,
it's not like we're completely worthless like we used to be.
Yeah, we're just marginally worthless now.
Yeah.
We're finding our niche, and our niche is allowing indie developers to swear.
That's a nice niche to have.
Yeah. It's a really fun niche.
Yeah.
Cool.
So on that fucking note, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Pappy.
And this
sweaty,
is the
sweaty Pappy.
Sweaty balls, Pappy. Old man, sweaty balls. This is SML Podcast episode 160, and we are joined right now by John Ribbons of Roll 7. Is it Ribbons?
Hello. Yeah, it's Ribbons. Okay. It's Ribbons. You're probably one of the first people to pronounce it correctly.
Well, I wasn't sure if it was Ribbons or Ribbons, but I thought Ribbons would make more sense.
Ribbons. I quite like that. That'd be fun.
Ribbines.
Riboflavin.
So John Riboflavin is here from Roll 7. Tell us a bit about who you are and what you do.
So I'm like creative director at Roll 7. So I do the makey bits of the games, the sort of coming up with them, as opposed to the sort of trying to sell them.
The makey bits.
The makey bits. It's like
plasticine,
but
on computers. I've ever heard.
So we kind of started in 2008. We did a skateboarding game called Oli Oli, which has been on PS Vita and PS4, and I think it's been on everything now.
It's on Steam, it's on 3DS, it's on Wii U, Vita, PS3, PS4, it's on Xbox, it's on everything.
On everything.
Holy shit, you did your research. It's even on Amazon Fire TV, I think.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you can play it on the fucking television. I don't know how, it's you just drag your fingers over the screen and it moves or something. So we did that, and we did Oli Oli 2, and we've just done Another Hero.
So with Oli Oli on everything, when is Oli Oli 2 going to hit everything else?
Gradually, I think, is the best,
Gradually.
Best I can say, as we get around to it.
Because we're fairly big Xbox fans on our show. All of us own Xboxes. I'm the only guy here that actually owns a PS4 on the show. So anything PS4 related automatically goes to me, and I feel bad because the other guys can't really get a piece of the action when it comes to PlayStation stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I feel bad because that means I get to play more cool games.
However, I'm in the same building as you, so I could just watch you play it.
True.
And the nearest person I know who owns a PS4 is like a 20-minute drive.
Unless you specifically wait until that Sony thing comes through every single year.
Yeah. PlayStation experience.
Yeah.
It's at a different location every year.
Oh, really?
Didn't they move it to California this year?
Yeah, it was at San Fran this last year.
But anyway, PlayStation brings us to what you are here to talk about is the game Not a Hero, which is out next week, I believe, on PS4.
Tuesday, the 2nd of February.
Yes, next week. So it is just around the corner. For the people who don't know what Not a Hero is, and if people don't know what Not a Hero is, you need to pay attention because you need to get this game when it comes out. Tell us what it is. Give us the sales pitch for Not a Hero.
The short description, I think, is it's like a 2D cover-based shoot 'em up. It's kind of like Kane and Lynch, but like side view.
But, playable.
Oh, dude, that game's clear. I quite liked that game. I see this is where we go off topic.
The first one was good. Yeah. The second one, not so much.
The second one has my favorite camera work in a video game, which is like either the nicest or most horrible thing I can say about a game because there's literally nothing else to say about it. Not a Hero is kind of like that, but from the side. 2D, and you can kind of pop in and out of cover. It's very British. You can play as like 9 different very British people, and they all work for a giant purple rabbit from the future. This is where describing the game comes a little bit like trying to nail eggs to the ceiling.
nail eggs to the ceiling. I love it.
Oh my
god! Just learning amazing phrases today.
So he's come back in time from a broken future to get elected mayor, because if that happens, the future is not broken anymore. And he's going to fix the future by killing crime in its face now.
Which, quite literally, you murder crime in its face in the game.
You do.
It is for
today, for a better tomorrow.
We've been living under that idea in America for the last 200 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well,
truth.
For being what appeared out of the gate to be like a cute pixel shooter kind of game, turned incredibly violent very quickly, and I was extremely happy about that.
Oh, good. If you weren't, you'd be in that other crowd.
The critical kills and the executions are pretty insane in the game, and I love it.
Yeah, I was not ready for that.
Wait, the executions themselves or the fact that the people beg before you shoot them?
Yes.
Oh.
Because, this was the thing that we thought, a lot of people think that's, a really brutal element to it, that they go, wait, they've got the family, and then you go, bam, and, chunk their face off. And, I genuinely thought that was going to be funny, not horrific. And so, when we did, the first round of testing and people were playing it, we got this, one of our tester guys, who literally had to sit and play that game all day. And I had this conversation with him at one point where he was like, dude, honestly, the executions, when I finish testing the game, I feel like I kind of have to go and have a shower because I just feel dirty from what I've been doing.
Oh, man.
Dude, it's seriously though. I mean, like I was looking around. I'm like, okay, this kind of reminds me of, what was the game that Tim was always talking about?
Gunpoint.
So it kind of reminded me of Gunpoint, and then I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, I could see where the game's going, and then he slides up and then executes the first person. I'm like, whoa, oh, okay, this is different. All right, I was not ready at all.
The sliding tackle, dazing people, and then just don't kill me, just blam.
Not the face, anything but the foot face. Yeah.
Which, by the way, I love the voice acting in the game.
It's this fucking weird. What sound? Was your inspiration for the dialogue for the bunny?
Oh, so I don't know if this word's going to translate. Do you have airing cupboards in America? Is that a thing?
You have
your boiler in your house, right? The thing that makes the water. I don't need to describe a fucking boiler to you. You have boilers in America. It's not like someone's heating it up over a campfire.
Hot water is. We don't have hot water in our parts of Pennsylvania.
That storm.
So you have like an airing cupboard, right? It's like the water boiler in your house is in a cupboard, and there's some shelves in there, and you can put your laundry in to dry it out.
Okay.
The airing cupboard in my house is really squeaky, right? When you open the door, it's like, and I just recorded that and used it to make Bunny Rose voice. I shit you not, right? Like, it's horrible.
Because I knew that there was something, there had to be something that it was based off of, because I'm like, it sounds real. Because I was trying to figure out what it was, and I kind of almost had this feeling of like, is it something squeaking? Like, I'm like, it's like,
but like squeaky so, cupboard door. That's great.
So basically, I mean, like I'd say about how the story and stuff came about, but like, Bunny Lord was a character from another game, or like a prototype game of just this conversation engine, which is what all of those cutscenes came from, and his voice. All of the other characters in that game had, like, they spoke in, like, Latin or, like, you know, actual languages with actual words, and he just had, like, the random squeaks from my airing cupboard door.
Oh, and my lord.
Throughout Not a Hero, right, Guy Cockcroft, like, the guy that did the sound design, he did 13 other, like, attempts, because, like, everyone fucking hated the voice. People would play the game and be like, I can't stand that friggin' Bunny's voice, like, we have to change it. He did 13 other variations to try and find a different voice for Bunny Lord, and the 13th one he presented, we were like, yeah, this one, this is perfect, and he's like, that's the original fucking voice, guys. So literally, like, months of work, and then he just stuck the original one back in, and we were like, yeah, that's it, that sounds perfect. And he's like, yeah, that's what you gave me to start with, so.
Oh my
so
god.
It ended up being, it is my airing cupboard door.
Like, at first, I thought it was, like, inspired by, like, the grown-ups in the Charlie Brown cartoons, where it's just, wah, 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 like a trumpet.
It's like a mix between the two.
So, do you remember that tune, Flatbeat, that they used on one of the Levi's adverts with the little yellow guy in the car?
Maybe?
Ooh,
I don't think so. Actually, I don't think that... I don't... Joe,
and it was like
I gotta
little yellow guy in
the
car, and the tune was like, womp, womp. Womp, womp, womp. It was like the most irritating. It was like number one for weeks.
Yeah, I'm listening to it right now, and I know exactly what you're talking about now.
Yeah, it had a little yellow guy in it called Flat Eric, yep. And he spoke like Bunny Lord speaks. And like, I wanted him to sound a bit like Flat Eric, but the only way I could make it sound like it was the Aaron cupboard door.
I think I have to look up Flat Eric because I.
Mr. Oizo Flatbeat official video.
That's the one.
I'm actually jamming out right now. Since we might not have even gotten this commercial in the U.S., and that's good because now I have another track that I enjoy listening to that I haven't had ruined by TV.
I don't think I've ever seen this commercial before.
It's a cool one.
Maybe we didn't get it in the States.
I'm so confused by this commercial.
This music video, though, I want that desk. I don't know.
You're listening to the other one where he's got the awesome desk. It's like a record player and stuff, and he's like listening to the phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the phone on the speakers. Yeah. No, this desk is pretty. It's for since no one can actually see what I'm watching, it's just this big ass round desk that almost looks like someone took the top of a tower in like a sci-fi movie and then just turned it into a desk. This little round.
I do remember this song though. So that's a good thing. I do remember
some
that song.
Listening to this right now is in a notepad writing down idea for a new podcast. People describe adverts to listeners.
We want residuals.
Wouldn't be the first time. We've had to describe YouTube videos many a times on this
we
show.
Have. Dating all the way back to Kmart Ship Your Pants commercial.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude, we were running on that for what, like a month and a half?
Something like that.
Well, and now, you know, because it's YouTube, I fell down the hole and I'm watching the Satisfaction video with all the hot chicks with power tools.
Oh, my God.
That only took one click away from what I originally started.
That's all it takes.
I think it's the same record label, right? Like Ed Banger did both those.
I used to love this song, but I actually burned myself out on it, so. Watch that.
Listen, you want to talk about getting burnt out on songs?
Well, you perform music. Right.
Yeah, you're a cover band. You're not allowed to compare your getting tired of songs to us getting tired of songs because you play them. We just listen to them.
Yeah.
It's like a whole different level of getting burnt out on songs.
Yeah.
I have to present them to people.
Technically, you have to present them well to keep your job.
Yes. That's the second part. I can't just play them and just be like, oh my God, fuck this song. Like, I have to do them well.
And you still have to do them no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, I literally, you know, and I don't know if I actually like voiced this on the show yet, but I legitimately feel like I am just like a step away from being a prostitute. Like,
and like that like, step is literally going through our door into the corner.
Yeah. That's hey, next time away. Next time I come to visit, I'll help you take that last step.
Hey, but, does that mean that you're going to pay me?
Well, we'll see. So anyhow, back on topic.
So yeah, video games.
I got a quick question. Is how many drugs were involved when you guys thought this game up?
All of them.
Most of them.
It's good to hear someone say most of them instead of, oh, there weren't any, we swear. Ha ha.
I think it's sort of, there's definitely air of sort of trying to appeal to that kind of like film cow, Family Guy sort of stoner comedy. There's an element to that. I mean, one thing we didn't realize when we made the game, like they're supposed to be like the Bunny Lord cutscenes. It's supposed to be some sort of comic relief between all the violence. What we didn't realize when we made it was like, it's sort of like, my favorite element is it tests the reading skills of YouTube streamers. They get to the cutscenes and they've got to read out loud, and it's like, oh, let's test your reading comprehension live. It's one of my favorite things.
And there's no like press X to advance the text. It just goes automatically. So they got to be on the ball.
Yeah, I actually kind of like that, because even some of the YouTubers I love to watch, it's like, oh, man, how do you not know what that word is? You know, you're in your 20s. Right. Like, or how do you not know how to say it? Oh, yeah. Or watching, I guess there's this new game. It's kind of like Pictionary. You can play with friends. I was watching some streamers do that, and it's really funny when you're watching a streamer who doesn't get something like, you know, dog.
Crazy dogs.
It's like, I know everyone has those moments where their brain just decides to be like, fuck it, I'm not going to actually be useful now.
Yeah.
But it's still pretty funny. Like, hey, you just got 1 million views of people watching you not guess dog.
Yeah. Like your brain does that thing.
How great do you feel now?
Like where it just keeps saying the same word to you. You know what I mean? It would be going like jetpack. And you're like, it's not jetpack. And your brain's like, how about jetpack? And you're like, it's not fucking jetpack,
it's
brain. Stop saying jetpack.
It's jetpack.
Like, jetpack. Ah! Yeah.
Jetpack.
And then you go, is it a jetpack? Yeah. And then, yeah. And then you're that guy.
I've had those moments.
So I guess, like, question, have you realized that the text in the cutscenes is random?
No.
Wait, what?
Right.
That this just made like them that much better. Wait, no, what part of the cutscene?
There's got to be some structure to it, though, right? Or is it just like...
He says different shit every time. Like, anytime he's like, we got to go and collect some, like, presents for the children, next time it'll be like, we got to collect bees for the children. Next time it'll be like, we got to collect a dinosaur for the children. Like, your objective, when you got to collect and level stuff like that, changes every single time you play that level.
Okay, I did notice that, because the first time I went to the one factory, I had to collect dogs, and the second time I had to collect, like, stunt boxes.
Secret boxes? Yeah.
Stunt crates.
Yeah,
dude, some I want to be one of those children that someone's just giving me stunt crates. Like, yeah.
So, like, but the point, like, the whole kind of point of that was, like, everyone just skips cutscenes, yeah? Like, so many people just don't even read the fucking cutscene. They're like, yeah, hit right. X, let's go and kill stuff. We just liked this idea that, like, people wouldn't do it, and then they'd be, like, chatting to their friend having played the game, be like, yeah, did you play that mission where you save all the dogs? And they're like, what?
What dogs? No. What are you talking about?
What dogs? I've never saved any dogs. Yeah. There was the thing with the xylophones. Do you mean the xylophone thing? And that was like happening with our testers. People were just skipping the cutscenes and then chatting to each other and being like, well, like they're reporting bugs to us going, yeah, the level with the xylophones, like I had this bug. And you're like, dude, I don't know what level that was. Like, it could have been any of them.
Yeah, because before I got the code, I was watching some, like a first 15-minute video online just so I could get a better idea of the game. Because I wasn't sure if I'd be able to try the game myself before we talked. And that same level, the person in the stream was collecting, I think, Neko Cat statues?
Yeah. Maneki Neko is like with little wavy hands.
And was that an official stream from you guys? Because Bunny Lord was like doing director's commentary over the entire thing.
Yeah, we put that in.
That was pretty amazing to watch.
So wait, so literally it was just like, like just, there wasn't actual words.
I think it's subtitled.
It was subtitled at the bottom, so you could see what it was. But I thought it was funny.
We didn't get time to do this thing we wanted to do. You know, like in DVDs when you get director commentary. Right. So we didn't get time to do it. And like, oh man, if we ever do a sequel, it's totally going in. But we wanted to do a thing where it did the randomized text stuff that it would do in the cutscenes. We wanted to have an option in the options menu you could turn on like director's commentary. And it would just like, he'd just say random shit, but it would relate to what you're doing. So it'd be like, oh yeah, and then I shot a guy in, like you'd shoot a dude in the face, and then at the bottom be like, yeah, I totally shot a guy in the face or whatever, like just after you did it. But yeah, we just ran out of time to get it done.
It was stuff like that guy was actually shot on this stage. It was accidental or like something
Yeah.
And then one was like, the dog in the background there cost 20,000 pounds to animate. I'm just watching it and losing my shit. The humor in this game and the way you guys are handling it is so fucking funny. And
so who's good. Mostly in charge of doing like the dialogue for the characters and stuff?
So I wrote most of the Bunny Lord stuff. That was like the Bunny Lord scenes are on me. And then me and Simon, who's one of the other directors of Roll 7, we wrote all the stuff. So like, I'm assuming you've probably got like Steve, maybe Cletus right now as playable characters.
And Samantha.
Yeah.
So you've got like another six to go. So me and Simon wrote all of those characters together, but like that was a labor of love for Simon. Because he really wanted all of those people to have their own voices. And I was like recording 9 sets of voice acting for this little, like, this is a little pixel art indie game. We're not recording like 9 full voice sets, but we did.
We're not gonna do that. Okay, we're gonna do that.
Yeah, so credit to Simon and credit to this guy. Oh my god, I can't remember his surname, which is really bad. Dan, and I'm gonna find his surname before the end of this podcast. Who did all the voice acting, because this one guy did all the characters, well, not the ladies, but he did all the male characters in the game. It's just one dude.
Wow, that's fantastic, because they don't sound the same.
Except Cletus. I did Cletus.
Ah, all right.
Because he couldn't do a Scottish accent.
you got a Scottish
Do some
guy
lines with... for us.
I may need to finish some more of this alcohol sitting beside me before I bust into my Scottish.
That's how you handle the SML podcast with alcohol.
Okay, so I know nothing. Is Cletus an actual name?
Hey, he's one of the characters.
No, but I mean like a Scottish guy named Cletus. Like his
Cletus. Yeah. Well,
I picture Cletus as, you know, a redneck guy in West Virginia.
Like, I'm damn boys.
Yeah. We's gonna go shoot and gather up the kids who's also my nephews.
We're gonna kill some possum for dinner.
So you may notice that he looks quite a lot like a hillbilly.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically like oh no. So the game wasn't originally going to be set in the UK. It was going to be just sort of like generic. And then we decided that, like, we went through all this shit, like trying to work out what the story actually was, like why you're murdering all of these people. And that's kind of where Bunny Lord came from. And then it was like he was becoming mayor and all of that kind of stuff. And so then we set it in the UK. But by that point, we'd already drawn a ton of the characters, one of whom was this like shotgun wielding hillbilly called Cletus, right? So you're right. Like, he was totally going to be this, like, you know.
Goddamn, boy, I don't even know what I did, but we're going to go shoot some people over there.
Kind of guy, right? But then, like, we obviously couldn't have him in it because we'd set it in the UK. So we were just like, oh, fuck it, we'll make him Scottish. So we made him Scottish. And weirdly, like, not that many people seem to have noticed.
Oh, man.
I think for us, it's just the proliferation of the Simpsons, and Cletus is the generic redhead. Or,
the
yeah,
slack-jawed yokel. Cletus, yeah. Slack-jawed yokel.
But, no, and I think I want to comment after hearing that voice imitation. This is why people always, you know, let's try that again. People, this is why we always hire British actors, because they can do other accents and not fuck them up.
Yeah.
You can't hire an American and be like, all right, you're Scottish for this movie. It's not going to end well.
Not
you
at all.
You can hire a Scotsman and be like, you're from...
Mel Gibson.
Yeah. You can hire a Scottish guy and be like, all right, you're from Mississippi. And after like 2 weeks, he's got it. It's just nailed.
It's like watch The Walking Dead. Everybody on The Walking Dead is British.
So you know where to come if there's a zombie apocalypse. Apparently we'll all survive while pretending to be from other countries.
Yeah.
Well, we saw Shaun of the Dead, too. You guys know what's up over there.
We go to the Winchester and let it all blow over.
Yeah.
So, God, I'm trying to think what to ask because the game is just so insane. Like, how long did this game take?
Soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, that was good. The soundtrack in the game, I noticed a couple of our friends on there, Zircon and Big Giant Circles are on there, which has me super thrilled. Is the soundtrack going to be available anywhere?
I don't know. It's available. It sounds like a massive plug. If you if you buy it on PlayStation 4 first, obviously, but then go on Steam and buy the Bunny Lord Global Megalord Edition, you can get the soundtrack, I think.
Nice.
Hold on. I think, actually, maybe you can't. Maybe we fucked up the contracts and you're not actually able to get it. No, well, you can't. You can't get it. You can't get the soundtrack yet. Shit. Something might happen, but I think it all went horribly wrong.
Well, time to make things right.
Yeah. Time to fix that.
That's for the Super Mega Release Xbox One Edition.
Yes, coming soon, maybe.
Maybe?
Maybe?
That maybe. Takes us to...
I like hearing about Xbox.
One of the important questions, when's Not a Hero coming to Xbox?
I wouldn't say never.
Yeah, so,
is that open enough?
There's hope.
I'm guessing there is
certainly hope.
Legal things keep you from confirming whether or not it'll happen?
Yeah.
Cough twice if it is going to come in the future, but you just can't say when.
That was three.
Is that a maybe?
It's a maybe.
You're looking into it.
We are certainly looking into it, yes.
Which I will say is good to hear. I'm not a fan of exclusivity stuff, and it's always good to see games hit other platforms. I know a bunch of Xbox stuff has jumped over to PlayStation. PlayStation has jumped over to Xbox. It's just good for everyone to be able to play everything. So if it's eventually coming to the Xbox, and if Ollie Ollie 2 is going to join it as well, that's fantastic to hear.
Yeah. I mean, for sure, for us, like,
hypothetically,
being small, you've got to pick one or the other. Like, actually doing everything is a crazy... I realize we've done Ollie Ollie 1 on everything now, but it's taken us almost, like, 2.5 years to port it to all of these different platforms. So we'll get there, but it's a slow process.
And funny enough...
That's the biggest thing we've heard, is that there's just enough differences to make it to where you almost have to start from the ground up.
Yeah, even if it's not like the actual game itself, like just the process of submitting it to each platform is like there's a big rule book for each one.
What kind of differences have you seen in those rule books between platforms?
Do you know what's going to sound like? So I don't do a lot of that side. I'm the makey guy, remember?
The makey guy.
The makey guy.
Gets past, like, I get the plasticine and then like the finger paints and stuff, right? So they keep me away from cash flows. No, but like I mean, like even like little details, right? Like every store image that you need and every achievement image that you need for every platform is going to be a different size, and you need to make those and think about what they look like and are they going to fit in? Like all of that kind of stuff, like the store text, right? Different limits to the number of characters, like really boring things that no one really wants to do. That, like, I guess if you're a bigger studio, that's just somebody's job.
You've just explained my job without the fun of making video games.
But Pappy, you get to make other things, like, I don't know what you make anymore.
Yeah, my credit for last week was found and fixed 7,300 errors.
That's a lot of errors.
In a $10,000 or 10,000 item inventory. I literally took our online inventory, went to Excel, found the errors, went back to the online program that has our inventory, and fixed things one at a time.
You sounds basically fun. Just described most of game dev.
Yeah, but again, without the fun of seeing a finished product at the end, because, you know, it's still a program that just keeps our inventory.
Yeah, fair point.
And Pappy's inventory isn't video games.
Yeah, torque wrenches. I got all those torque wrenches fixed, motherfucker.
There yeah. you go. So if you're in the torque wrench business,
you know who to call.
We got your hookup. Yes. SML Podcast, helping torque wrench owners since I don't even know anymore.
Since 2016.
No, my knowledge can literally only help the other 40 Air Force females out there and nothing else.
Yeah, video games.
Yeah.
So, Ollie, now that it is on everything, has it been worth porting it to everything? Has it paid off?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know even Ollie, it showed up in the Nintendo Indie Humble Bundle that went on.
It did, the first ever Nintendo Humble Bundle.
That's actually where I got my Nintendo versions of the game, because I had it on PlayStation. When it hit Xbox, I picked it up there. And then when the Nintendo Humble Bundle came out, I grabbed that as well. So I own way too many fucking copies of Ollie.
You've got the full set of Ollie's.
It's like Shovel Knight. You got to catch them all. Now you need an Ollie amiibo, and I'll grab that as well.
I quite like one of those. I saw there's a Shovel Knight one, and I was like, man, why don't we have one? So.
See, if you port Not a Hero to the Wii U...
Oh, the bunny one.
We can do
11 of them.
You can do a full series of Not a Hero amiibo, and I would buy all of them.
All of them.
Because I am a consumer whore.
Yeah. He's a whore in all senses of the word, really, but consumer the most.
Yes.
I saw the other day, somebody made Bunny Lord for Scribblenauts. So you can buy them, and then if you write Bunny Lord in Scribblenauts, it will actually, like, create a little Bunny Lord in there, which is pretty cool.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
I love cross promotion like
Scribblenauts,
that.
Scribblenauts, I have it on PC, so that's good.
Yeah, I think that's the one it works on, because I saw it on Steamworks.
That's excellent. So great.
I'm going to find that as soon as we're done with the podcast, actually.
So what else has Roll7 been working on? You have the two Ollie's, you have Not a Hero. I see coming soon you have something called Ultra Neon Tactics. What's that about?
Ultra Neon Tactics. So that's kind of, I don't even know if that's really necessarily happening in quite its form, but Ultra Neon Tactics as it stands is a sort of 2-4 player local multiplayer game about hitting people with lasers.
Which sounds like a good game.
I'm listening.
Go on.
Oh, that's literally it. You just get really good at hitting people with lasers. Yeah, I mean, like, so I guess we do lots of bits. So I guess, like, to give you an idea, right? So Not a Hero was, it was part dungeon crawler originally. A game called Jeffrey Archer, which is a game about an archer called Jeffrey.
It should be Sterling Archer.
Dungeons. See, like, it doesn't really translate. Like, Jeffrey Archer is actually a guy in England. I mean, there's probably a guy in America called Jeffrey Archer as well. But, like, Jeffrey Archer in England is, like, famous. And so, I mean, yeah, it's not funny. It gets that reaction. Ah, I see what you did. But it's not about that guy. It's about an archer called Jeffrey, and he walks around shooting things with arrows. And that was kind of a fun game, but like, not.
I like how you're like, it was kind of fun, I guess. I don't know.
Well, like, you know, there's lots of stuff that's basically someone else's game, but it just looks a bit different. You know, when you're like, I'm making this, you know, sort of like, I made this awesome thing. Check it out. And then you realize after a while, like, this is just like Angry Birds in a dungeon. Like, this isn't actually like a different game.
I do like the description on the website that calls it a fast-paced, super retro, local multiplayer game developed in the wee hours and weekends by resident idea faucet John Ribbons.
I'm an idea. Does it say that?
Yes, resident idea faucet.
Well, there we go. So yeah, like Not a Hero is so, like, three different ideas that got merged into one, and then. And then Bunny Lord happened to it, I suppose. So, like, this, like, late, you know, Ultra Neon Tactics, like, that's, like, one idea. It might have another couple of other bits and bobs bolted on before it maybe becomes something new.
Nice.
But yeah.
Well, it does say expected July 2059 or sooner, depending on laser technology. So I guess we'll see.
Man, who wrote this? I'm going to go and check the site.
I don't know, but the website's pretty fantastic.
Okay.
Imagine playing chess in hyperspace with a bunch of rotating death rays that just about cover 50% of the joy that is Unt. The other 50% comes from the knowledge that the game's title used to be prefaced by the word cosmic.
So it used to be called Cosmic Ultra Neon Tactics because I wanted to make a game, but if we released it, the press couldn't abbreviate it down to an acronym.
Now I get the Unt. God damn it.
You need to change the name back. Like, you really, like, you please change the name back.
Yeah, that
really,
needs to
really
happen.
Want to, but, like, it's that thing that half the people you tell that to go, oh, totally change the name back. And then the other half of people that you tell that to go, yeah, you really can't call it that. And the half of the people that go, yeah, you really can't call it that, are the kind of people that like work at PlayStation. So I'm kind of like,
damn it.
You should hit up Phil Spencer and be like, would you allow a game called Cosmic Ultra Neon Tactics on your system? Or what about Gravitational? It could be Gunt.
Gunt, but Gunt isn't rude.
See, that works, and the G kind of looks like a C.
Actually, what about like?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, but I want someone somewhere to just abbreviate it, and then someone comes and goes like, "Dude, you printed cunt on our website. What are you doing?"
What about bliss, like blinding lasers, ultra neon taxes, tactics?
Just blunt.
Blunt.
420, bro. Yeah, and sell it for $4.20.
God.
Oh my lord.
The youths of today would buy it on principle.
They would.
I can't pretend that I'm above that because I did that. I played D&D and this guy had made this amazing campaign and he had it to where we were part of the Syndicate of Master Adventurers for the Recovery of Treasure. So it was smart. And then I got in charge somehow. So I immediately changed it to Syndicate of Heroic Adventurers. So everyone was a member of SHART.
Nice.
That's why we can't have nice things when any, you know, me, Joe, or Chris are involved.
Truth. Absolute truth.
How did SML not change to something horrifying by now?
I thought Suck My Labia was like third or fourth place.
It was up there. Yeah,
I still think
suckle my labia.
there were some real winners when we had that contest. That was Sexy Mastodon Lingerie was definitely my favorite.
Yeah. Well, that because we had art for it.
Yeah. Well, the art came after the contest.
Sexual Molten Lava? That was another good one.
Yeah, and it was Scandinavian Mastodon Lingerie.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Shaved man legs?
There's a good one. Oh, man, we should do another contest.
Maybe we should.
Change what SML stands for once again.
Again.
Because I don't really think we can do the Someone Might Listen podcast anymore because we're getting a lot of listeners.
Maybe it's time for a rebranding.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's make it even harder to ever get a sponsor.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, like, just what SML stands for.
Somebody might have listened.
Once.
Yeah, once upon a time.
The SML1 podcast.
Now we need to think of something to change it to the Cuntcast.
Oh my god.
No.
That'll ensure that we get all the listeners.
Yeah, but at least we've been getting things on the Microsoft Store now, though.
Yeah, the fact that we have advertisement, we have commercials for games featuring the SML podcast, which blows my goddamn mind, honestly.
Right? What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to catch on and be like, what the fuck did we do? Why?
Why do we put these guys on there?
What mistake have we made?
What have we done?
So yeah, if you ever want to make a trailer for Not a Hero on the Xbox One.
Yeah, you know who to call.
We have to drop you on there.
The game Electronic Super Joy, if you go on the Xbox One into the store and you go to Electronic Super Joy and you look down in the trailer section, we're there. There's a gameplay trailer of me playing the game.
I was sitting on the couch next to him, just like,
dude,
bullshitting.
Dude, you all right?
And
oh my God, he looked like he was in pain.
Yeah, after the one heartbreaking death in the game. And then it's looking like it's happening again with Qbert rebooted when that hits the Xbox One. Things can always change there, but it's looking good. But I'm not marketable. Why the hell are people using me?
Because you're the only one doing Twitch.
Yeah, because you're a dumbass on YouTube, but I'm not allowed to make comments like that.
No, you heard my comment yesterday when I was streaming. I said, I'm a stubborn old bastard, and every time someone asks me why I'm not on Twitch, I go another week without even considering being on Twitch. So I have to go at least 1 week with no one giving me shit about not being on Twitch before I'll even think about it.
Do you at least appreciate the fact that Uneaten Lake asked you about it, and I just said, I'm not allowed to comment on this matter?
Yeah, that's the closest to being well-behaved that you've ever come. I still want to say something, but I can't, so I'm going to say I can't say anything.
I technically didn't say anything, so.
Yes, you were technically correct, which is the only type of correct I ever expect from you.
Good enough.
Hey, it still counts.
So yeah, video games.
Yeah. Well, we're technically talking about video games, but
I started coexisting on a stream, doing Diablo, like late night Diablo streams, which we've decided to actually name the show. It's D3 Drunk Diablo Dateline.
Oh God.
So basically, I don't drink, but I'm still under the influence. Hint. But.
And that's your audience for a game called Blunt.
Yes.
So basically what Chris does is he puts vodka in an eyedropper.
Yeah, and then I shove it up my ass.
okay.
You get drunk real quick. So basically what we do is, like, we'll be under the influence of some sort, and people in the chat will just ask about life advice and dating advice, and we will give them dated advice while running riffs in Diablo.
What the fuck?
Dude, straight up, that's what we've been doing for the past, like, I don't know, week and a half, and it's been awesome. Like, it's been so much fun.
That sounds like something that should expand to other, like, just play Not a Hero and give date advice. That's what you should do next, John, is just have Bunny Lord give dating advice during videos.
Is this a stream that actually happens?
What, the Diablo Dateline?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do it, like, I mean, it's kind of sporadic. It's fun, but it's sporadic. It's pretty much whenever, like, so the person that I do the stream with, she's actually, like, she does a lot of cosplay stuff, Bendo Geek.
But
she does, like, a bunch of cosplay stuff, and she'll do videos of her making, like, costumes and stuff like that on her Twitch. Like, she'll go through, like, her arts and craftsy stuff. But then she'll actually stream games and stuff too. Mostly she does, like, League and the Star Wars Battlefront and a couple other things. But she wanted to start getting into Diablo, and because Diablo is pretty much, like, my shit, she reached out to me and she was just like, "Hey, can you teach me how to play this game?" I'm like, "You came to the right person."
Yeah, because so, Chris could actually just pay attention to the comment stream.
Yeah, I don't have to pay attention to the game because I just go on autopilot, so I can check the chat and then I can help her in the game. So it's like everybody's winning. Great.
I want to watch this stream. How haven't you told me about this stream, Chris?
Because it's been so, like, it's just so random. Like, it's like, I don't know, like, we don't really have a schedule for it.
Promote the fuck out of that on Twitter when you're doing it.
It's great.
I'll get at least three more people watching it.
Well, she has a pretty, like, regular, like, viewer base.
Yeah.
So we always have a decent amount of people that talk to.
But then you can at least get Uneaten Lake in there so we can thank you for having a Twitch stream.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Someone from the show knows what the fuck Twitch is besides me.
I really feel like I'm just going to I'm never going to Twitch just because you guys want me to.
Well, I mean, you would get more people watching.
You would get way more people.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not really giving a shit about viewership right now. I'm playing for fun.
So. Yet when I say I'm not concerned about listeners for the show, you guys give me shit.
Because we put a lot of time and effort into this. I literally boot up XSplit and go, all right, guys, watch me suck.
We?
And then an hour later, I go to bed.
Put a lot of effort in this show.
You send emails. You contact awesome people.
You put a lot of effort into this show.
Yeah, you do. You do tons of stuff.
Yeah. So you know that bleeds on to us.
I don't do dick anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I used to at least do the audio, but now I'm not even really doing the audio
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, you just.
Well, I mean, I still play games that I wouldn't otherwise play. So that's work.
True.
Very true. But in the same regard.
Still playing games.
Yeah, well, at the same time, to be honest, you know, sometimes, you know, Joe gave me a review code for a game where I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. Then I'll realize like 10 minutes into it that I'm really not having fun. And it's hard for me to be like, I got to put at least an hour into this so I can have a fair opinion. But the whole hour feels like I'm back at work.
That's because you're bad at games.
Could be.
Yes.
Oh, my God, yes. I would love to see you play Not a Hero. You would be so bad at it.
All right, well, hey, next time I come to visit, we can stream it. Everyone can laugh at me.
Sounds good.
They're all going to laugh at you. Are you, you're not, like, stopping up for Mag, are you?
No, it's a direct flight to and fro.
Okay. As it stands right now, I might be able to crash Mag for, the last Sunday.
Yeah, you were saying. Yeah, that's good. I'm there
but
till Monday.
I can't make any promises, but I'm going to try.
So, Pappy, yeah. Do you want to ask your question instead of us getting off course and talking about something John has no idea about?
Yeah, I got a good question. This is my favorite patented Pappy question. So when you're taking a break from working on your games, what games are you playing to relax?
Actually, I made a list of this because I knew that I wouldn't be able to remember anything I played recently, like one in the morning, and I'd be like, at the moment, I'm playing lots of this feels so dirty. I'm playing lots of Nexon's Ghost in the Shell game, the like online free to play first person shooter on
PC.
How
is it? So I've only ever seen ads for it.
I sound so broken. I sound like a hostage who's kind of got Stockholm syndrome.
Tell me how the game is.
Which is exactly what you expect from someone enjoying a free-to-play game, I feel. But, like, I'm having loads of fun. Like, shotgunning people in the face is, like, great. And doing it when you're invisible is even funnier. Like,
what game
kind
is
of
this game?
The feeling that probably... It's
Ghost in the Shell online, basically.
Yeah, it's, like, Deathmatch Arena, shooty, first-person game. With some vague link to Ghost in the Shell characters.
So you're all wearing really tight clothing if you're a woman, and if you're a guy, you're in military fatigues?
Yeah, kind of. And you've kind of got the abilities, but it's like they didn't put any of the... There's none of the Ghost in the Shell guns.
Oh,
it's
none of the...
sort of Japan. Like, it's urban with some Japanese writing.
Are there at least a little tanks? What are they called?
Ashikomas, yeah, they're in one mode, but they do talk to you, and it is hilarious.
Oh, that's okay. As long as they're there, then at least they've got that link.
It's kind of like, you know, like sometimes with like these kind of games, like if you get in early, then like you're good enough by the point that like loads of people turn up that it's still kind of fun. Like the flip side of this, the other list game in my list is Star Wars Battlefront, which I came to really late, and it's just no fun because everyone's fucking incredible, and I'm running around with a water pistol, just like getting murdered by everybody. So yeah. I got in early with Ghost in the Shell, and it's kind of fun. But I think if you joined it now, you'd just be like, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah, no, I had that problem with back when I used to play Call of Duty. I would always play the game mode first. Like I wanted to play the story before I got online. And, you know, having a job and friends and stuff, I wouldn't get around to that until like a week after the game came out. And by then, getting online, people were already like level 60.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck,
your face,
man?
Like, stories for new.
Yeah.
Bam. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hey, you've got a pistol, you poor little bastard, and you're dead. And I'm camping a respawn, fucker. Oh.
Yeah, that's what's brutal about some online games is they're just so unforgiving if you haven't played constantly since release.
And that's why I honestly give Warcraft credit for trying to stay relevant. Is you can basically buy your way to level 60.
Yeah.
Meh. Part of me wants to give WoW the good old college try, but man, I can't really. I cannot justify a subscription based game. I really can't. With the way that my schedule is, no way.
Yeah. But if you wanted to get into it, say you just turned 13 and your parents let you have a computer, you know, that's fair.
Turn 13 and your parents give you a computer, you're not going to play WoW. You are going to masturbate constantly.
Pretty much.
That is fair.
It will be nothing but porn.
Yeah, I got no argument for that.
Nope.
So John, what kind of porn do you like?
A little bit of gaming.
It'll probably at least run Counter-Strike. So
no, you'll eventually find those interactive porn games that are free. You know.
Yeah.
Aww.
You'll buy the censored versions from Steam and then get like the developer patches to unlock all the nudity and.
Dude, I've learned some horrible things on the internet. Yeah, I didn't even know there were those things. Like, Cracked did an article about some of that shit, and I guess there's like a full on sex porn mod for Skyrim on Steam. Yep.
Oh yeah, I saw this article, and there's even dudes writing guides on like which kind of like how you should texture the labia, whether it was an innie or an outie.
Oh my god!
It was like, dude, if someone else needs to tell you about that, like you probably just shouldn't be modeling it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you should go meet women so you learn what they look like.
I was talking more about like the actual like visual novels from Japan that have
full
on. Like I wasn't talking about like user created mods. It's like
talking about like,
the ones that you can purchase off the shelf.
What was that one game that the one developer meant? Honey Pop, is it?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah,
As much as I'm into anime,
I've been deliberately never learning about visual novels.
It's like some kind of match three puzzle game, and the Japanese version has like full on nudity and like bent over gaping buttholes and shit like that.
Bent over gaping buttholes.
Is it like real people?
Be a great
people,
punk
or is it,
band name, by the way.
Is it real people or art?
Art. It's anime. Art.
Okay.
Is it
this
art,
stuff's been around like
art,
for
quote,
a really,
unquote,
really long
art,
time,
or is
then,
it?
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We found freaking. So, what was it? The 20s and 30s. What were they called? The little books that people could buy in the U.S. That were pretty much. They took the cartoon characters at the time and turned it into hardcore porn. Penny.
I don't know, Pappy. What are they called?
I'm going to look it up.
If anybody knows, it would be you. You are the movie and porn professional on our show.
Porn cartoons from the 40s. Let's see what the fuck Google's does to me now. Did not match any documents.
I mean, like in video games, there's been like stuff like that for ages. Like I remember downloading like a bear with me. I remember downloading like a massive set of like Sega Mega Drive ROMs, like for an emulator.
Yeah,
like just loads of stuff, like Sonic and like everything.
You but pirate. Just, like,
yeah. There was of like games I owned when I was a child that I'm not going to rebuy because the price has gone up to like $400 for one fucking cartridge of a game that's not even that good. No, I'm going to download the ROM.
That works.
Like, huge, like really old, weird, like the games where you slide the 9 tiles around in a square and you try and rearrange them to make a picture. And it's that, but it's like a 16-bit graphics naked lady and you're like, I don't even know what the...
Oh, what was Custer's Revenge?
Yeah, on the Atari.
Yeah.
Or like Bubble Bath Babes on the Nintendo.
Or honestly, like early Leisure Suit Larry.
Yeah.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah. Gamers are depraved perverts.
But some of them aren't even depraved, but they're still just perverts.
True.
Perverts.
True. So when is Roll7 going to make an anime porn game?
Well,
funny you should ask.
Funny you should mention that.
We have an announcement to make on your show, our next game.
Oh, man,
not a hentai.
Not a hentai. Maybe that's going to be the DLC. Who knows?
If you make DLC for that, that's again, it would be purchased just on principle.
So with all platforms is Not a Hero available on right now? Steam and PlayStation next week?
Yeah, Steam, PlayStation next week.
Nice, nice.
I think it's on Mac and Linux as well. But yeah, basically it's Steam for everything that you can Steam on.
Steam on
PS4. Yeah.
Steam on. Steam on.
And then hopefully more stuff later.
I'm trying to get you to slip up and confirm that it's being worked on for Xbox.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's like 20 to 2 in the morning, and I'm still not slipping up on that. I'm really proud of myself.
We're trying. You can't blame us for trying.
I'm going to open my desk drawer and give myself a little gold star.
The big joke is he's actually doing it.
I am actually doing it.
Oh. He has a chart on his wall. It's like, I did good today.
But I'm sellotaping it to my teacher.
Well, I know we've had you for nearly an hour now. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm not sure if you wanted to hang around anymore or if you wanted to get going to bed.
This has been very fun. I would actually like to hang around, but I do kind of think I should go and sleep.
Well. So, we had fun having you. So if you want to just maybe stop in again sometime.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back on.
That would be a pleasure. I guess like we have to come out on another platform maybe that you guys are really excited about in general.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we need to do that.
I found it. Tijuana Bibles. Palm-sized pornographic comic books produced in the US from the 20s to the early 60s.
My forehead is resting on the microphone like right thing. Now, out of sadness.
This sounds like a thing that Benicio del Toro should be selling in some somewhere.
Obscene parodies of newspaper comic strips like Blondie, Moon Mullins, Popeye, and Dick Tracy.
Tracy?
Yeah. They're basically little tiny sex books with comic characters.
Wow. I've just Googled it.
It's actually a fascinating read, that this made people money. Like, some people actually lived off of that, making little Tijuana Bibles for decades.
Oh. Tijuana Bibles.
Yeah.
Now that's a punk band name.
Tijuana Bible. That's awesome. I love it.
Anybody want to buy Tijuana Bible?
Dude, some of them are collector's items now. Like, people pay big money for them.
Yeah, well, no shit they're going to be collector's items. They're from the fucking 20s and 30s.
And you get to see, Marmaduke jerk off Blondie or something.
Oh, my
not like,
God.
Not like maybe Marmaduke lick Blondie?
No.
Like a real person.
Jerk off Blondie, because Blondie apparently has a dick in this world.
Well, it's a Tijuana Bible. I don't know how these things
Opposable
work.
Opposable thumbs, herbage.
God damn.
So, and on that note.
So how was your experience on our show?
Mixed. No, it's great, man. It's really
on a scale of, oh my God, never again, to fucked up but fun, where would you place us?
The latter.
Well, we look forward to having you on again in the future, once Bunny Lord is taken over.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We worked out this interview in only 2 days, so I'm sure if we had, more heads up, we could schedule something and get you on.
Yeah, if we planned this, we could do, full musical theater, stage show, orchestra.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it could be good. Laser light show at the end.
Send over at least a couple of the songs if you could, maybe.
Yeah, at the end of our show each week we play some music, and I'm not sure if you can send us any of the songs from the game. I'd love to feature some of the music from the game at the end of this episode.
Yes, I don't know if we can. Can you just play the game but turn the sound effects off? Maybe. You're like, and now I'm gonna play the game for you.
That'd be funny. I would have to stream it and then download the stream and then rip the audio from the stream.
So that's a yes?
That sounds like a lot of work.
Just hold your Skype phone up to the TV.
It'd be hysterical, actually. oh, by the way, this is what the game sounds like.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, describe what's going on as well. Like, he's like running across the floor. He's just going up some stairs. Yeah. No, I died.
I'm going to steal Joe's line. Before you go, do you have any final words for listeners out there?
Thank you for listening to me and us talking nonsense. Not a Hero is out on the 2nd of next week. Please, please, please go and buy it. So
how much is it?
More games. More than free, less than £20. I'm sorry, man. It's
sounds good to me.
That's like the best.
Narrows it down quite a bit. So
yeah. I mean, it's like it's not crazy.
Like 10, 15 bucks somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think it's like 10, 15 bucks. Like you've lost more money on a night out than you're going to have to spend on this game. So just get the game.
So skip the bar, buy Not a Hero, murder some criminals in the face, and support yes. Roll like 7.
Yeah, vote Bonnie Lord. He's a better candidate than Trump. Promise you.
Yes.
I already believe it.
Yeah, he makes more sense when he talks.
You don't need to convince us of that at all. We fully agree to that.
I was going to say, like, Bonnie Lord's too good for that, really. Like, Cabbage is better than Trump, as far as I can tell from what I've seen. So, like, it's not saying much. Cool, guys. It's been awesome to talk to you.
And people should hit up roll7.co.uk and check out the website, because the campaign trail pictures of Bunny Lord photoshopped into all these pictures is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. I should say, yeah, please do follow roll_7 on Twitter. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Flappy Fingers, but I don't talk a lot of sense.
Which is an amazing Twitter handle, by the way.
Yeah.
So, John Rippins, thank you so much for joining us. It has been an absolute pleasure having you on. I definitely hope we could get you back on again sometime, because you are fucking hilarious to talk to.
Oh, thank you. Guys, it's been great. I will, I'm going to go and sleep.
Have a good night, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
God, we are just nailing it with these great interviews.
Yeah.
And by great interviews, I mean insane, crazy interviews.
So on a completely different note, there's a movie coming out where Christopher Walken turns Kevin Spacey into a cat.
What's the name of it? What?
9 Lives.
When does it come out?
I don't. I'm looking at that right now. What cracks me up though is, you know, some of my friends in the film department were trying to mess with me, like, "Hey, we should make Pappy see this." And I was like, "The first movie I ever saw Christopher Walken in was called Puss in Boots, where he sang and danced and was Puss." And so everyone's like, "Really?" Like, that's wow.
Oh my god. So you know what I think is up next for the show?
What? Emails.
Giveaways. Sound okay. Good? No, no.
You do that.
Yes, no, good, yes, no. Chris, no burp.
Nope.
God damn it.
Hurry
water.
The fuck up, Joe.
So, we have a shitload of stuff to give away. We are going to start off with Albedo, Eyes from Outer Space. We asked you guys last week to send us an email giving us an alien story or an alien-related tale or email. Something, and a couple of you guys did that. So let's dive in with these entries. First up, we have good old Tembo Elephant, who says, "I've been obsessed with aliens and stories of alien abductions all my life. I would read every book I could get my hands on in the library about UFO sightings and pictures. My favorite movies growing up were Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Alien, E.T., Independence Day. My favorite show is The X-Files. I would go see any movie about the subject. I love that alien autopsy they did on Fox that turned out to be a fake. I've never seen a UFO before, but I keep looking up. I love anything about aliens and would love to play the game."
Just remember, if you look up and see something you don't know what it is, it's technically an unidentified flying object.
By definition, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. But that means the poor guy's seen The Fifth Kind, and I feel bad for him.
Isn't that the one Mustin, like, freaks out about?
Dude, I don't even know. I'd freak out over how terrible it was, but that's just me.
Next email is from Nick Simpson. He says, "I don't have an alien story myself, but I have a friend I went to high school with who claims to have been abducted and showed up to class one day with weird purple lines, marks, bruises on his back that he showed us. There were 3 triangles all on his back, all the exact same size and arranged like a pyramid stacked up on his back. I still think he wasn't, but they were really weird, and I don't know how he ended up with that strange pattern on his back."
Did he have older brothers?
You never know. Next one.
My brother didn't really fuck with me.
I fucked with my little brother.
True.
Maybe you're a horrible person.
Maybe?
Uneaten Lake is entering this one and says, send me Albedo so I can show you how much better I am at it than Pappy.
That's like saying, hey, I want to do this 100-meter dash against a snail. All right. That just doesn't impress me at all.
And then our final entry for Albedo is from Charlie Huang. This might just sound a little crazy, but I believe I was abducted by aliens about 5 years ago. I was driving home from work one night, and I was on the highway all by myself, and there was this flash of blinding white light. I woke up hours later at home in my bed, all neat and tucked in, and no recollection of how I got home. I tell people this story all the time, and they think I'm crazy. What do you guys think?
I think if you were on acid, you successfully got home during a bad trip.
Yeah, were any drugs or alcohol involved in this story?
Possibly.
Or was your drive home so boring that when you woke up the next day, you just went, eh.
So,
how did I get here?
How many codes do we have?
We only have one, so it comes down to one person out of those four who wins. Is it Tembo with his fandom, Nick with his classmate story of the back triangles, Lake, who just wants to be better than Pappy, or Charlie, who may have been abducted? Or
yeah, so I'm gonna
out.
I'm gonna knock out Lake because he's in new meanie head, and I'm gonna knock out the second guy because, you know, cool story but didn't happen to him. So we got it's the Ultra Phantom, or the only potential story of, hey, this happened to me and I can't explain it. So I'm gonna go with the last guy, even though I know the first guy would enjoy the game. I think the last guy had the best, hey, this is some weird shit that happened to me.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. Chris, do you have any input?
Technically, I kind of want to vote for the guy that's just a very big sci-fi fan, but it's just me.
Well, convince us.
Well, because, it really comes down to believability. I don't want to call out the credibility of one of our listeners, but
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just not. I don't,
well, but what did, I don't what, did we, what was the question that we asked all of our listeners?
To give a good story about, which, true, Charlie gave us a story. Tembo just told us he's a fan of alien stuff.
So if we're going with the letter of the contest, I'd say the last guy gave
plus
us
if it
story.
Makes you feel better, Tembo did enter another contest, so
okay.
So he has a chance to win something else. So Charlie Huang, you are the winner of Albedo on the Xbox One.
Although I will warn you, depending on how you feel about the controls, you might play the game, wake up the next morning, and forgot you ever beat it.
I will say this. If you are a fan of inverted controls in games, you're going to have a hard time. A good workaround is if you own an Elite controller, you could go into the accessories app and invert the sticks, which I did and made it a lot easier.
Yeah, we talked about this game the other week. It's fun, but there were a couple of rough patches.
Yeah, overall, I think it's worth checking out, and you get it free, so even better. Next up, we are going to give away one single copy of Rebel Galaxy. Because we
with
have
a Rebel EL?
Indeed. We have a couple entries for this. Again, we only have one code to give away. So first up is Michael Reyes sends in, I want Rebel Galaxy because I've always been a bit of a rebel growing up and I always wanted to see what's out there in the great galaxy beyond. Wish space travel was possible and then I'd be like Captain Kirk.
So we have a man who immediately wants to meet new life and fuck it.
I mean, doesn't anybody?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, he's already winning me over. Let's hear the others.
We have Jordan Phipps writing back in, and he says, hey guys, just got done listening to your podcast and of course hitting that thumbs up button. Thank you, Jordan. I really want to win Rebel Galaxy because I follow at Rebel Galaxy on Twitter and they're constantly retweeting fans who have nothing but amazing things to say about the game. Every time I read them, I want the game more, but sadly can't afford it right now. I feel it's one of the better indie Xbox One games to come out lately, along with Unepic, Lovely Planet, Electronic Superjoy, and the Banner Saga, and I would love to add it to my collection. Thank you for the chance.
Well, that's very nice.
And then our final entry is from Jon Snow, who knows
what,
nothing.
What?
He says
the real Jon Snow?
Yes. Yes, obviously. I mean, duh.
I mean, really obviously?
We all know he didn't die at the end of the season of Game of Thrones. I mean, he's in promotional materials for the new season.
Right, right.
Anyway, he says, I have to say the reason I want Rebel Galaxy for Xbox One is because of the review you read last week from Uneaten Lake. It was very thought out and made the game seem pretty accessible to a space shooter noob like me. I don't own and haven't really played anything like this before, and it seems to be very well received by the press and fans. Talk to you soon, John. So, the contest was to tell us why you want it. And three people told us why they want it. Are we going to give it to Michael, who wants to be like Captain Kirk? Are we going to give it to Jordan, who saw all the positive things off of Twitter? Or are we going to give it to John, who heard about it on our show from Uneaten Lake?
See, now I feel like a dick because I want to give it to the guy who's got the biggest fandom and wants to be like Captain Kirk.
Chris, do you have an opinion?
I kind of want to give it to the person that wants to fuck everything.
All right, well, I'm not gonna deny you guys the desire to have someone fuck aliens. So,
Mike. I mean, realistically,
because that's the first thing when I play Mass Effect, I'm like, I'd be in jail if I were in this universe.
Let's just say you're an astronaut, and you end up going out to, and you find alien life form. They can communicate with you, fairly easily. You know, there could be a little bit of translation loss, but body chemistry is everything.
True. All right. So, Michael Reyes.
Let's face it. I would be the Zap Brannigan of that future.
I mean, come on. Tell me you wouldn't. I would.
Anyhow. All right. What else we got, Joe?
The next one, we have been doing giveaways for people who write in about Punch Club.
Yay!
And
the best game of 2016 so far. All right, my favorite game.
We have one final code to give away, and one person emailed in about it, so looks like they're automatically going to win it.
Yay.
So congrats to Alexander Lima Bernardo, who writes into us and says, hello, I am Alexander from Brazil, and this is my story. I am sort of a pacifist, so I haven't had many fight stories to relate, but I hope this uncommon story, perhaps funny, will get me a chance to earn a Fight Club key. Punch Club, but close enough. Can't talk about Fight Club. That's the rules.
Even though it's in the game.
it totally is.
Back in early 2007, I was a freshman in second month of classes in a new high school, one of those Catholic traditional expensive private schools with nuns and rigid rules. So there was a guy in
sorry to hear that.
There was a guy in my class, an annoying retarded daddy's girl prick, who used to make stupid noises, dumb jokes, spit on people, and throw chalk sticks on the fans until they mowed and turned into a dusk. Oh, until, all right. Throw chalk sticks into the fans until they would get chopped up and turn into a dust cloud over everybody's stuff. But still, in his head, he used to think he was an amazing and funny guy, although he was just rejected as he annoyed everyone who tried to be his friend, including me. A few classmates and I started getting really annoyed with his attitude, so after giving up on telling him to stop, as he kept going on and on, there weren't enough reasons to report him to the school counselor, as it would be useless, but we got full of his shit and decided to start bullying him with some jokes related to zoophilia.
One to fuck animals.
Yeah, as he looked like one of the characters from Jab Comics' Farm Lessons. It's NSFW, so better don't Google it. And no, I don't recommend bullying. I also used to be bullied.
Yeah, and I, to prove how much of a pervert I am, I know who Jab Comics is.
So. Oh, man. We used to call him a chicken fucker and horse sucker, but he still kept up with his crap on us. One day he came to school with one of his arms broken. We said that he got screwed that way because he was wanking a horse. The entire class laughed, and then he earned a new nickname, Horse Wanker. Pappy, you can relate.
No, I can't.
Everybody started to call him Horse Wanker, so when his arm got better, he decided to take it out on me, and one day after class, he decided to catch me from behind by surprise and started to punch the back of my head like a girl, but I didn't react. I didn't even hit him. I only defended myself as I was more afraid of the school rules because there was a zero tolerance rule about fights there, and I could have gotten expelled, and we were still in school grounds. We both were sent to the principal's room, who was also a nun, and he had an advantage as he was studying there since kindergarten, and I was just a newcomer. He started to cry and called his parents, and I was frozen there. Couldn't display any reaction. I was almost expelled because of that, but as I had witnesses, I got lucky and received another chance and not even a scratch. While he got two displaced and broken finger, a warn from the principal, and he was treated as a joke until the end of high school. Perhaps I am too headstrong. So yeah. It's a story of someone who got sick of someone else's shit and is, I guess, a reformed bullier who was bullied.
Yeah, I mean, eventually you get sick of somebody constantly harassing you, putting you down, and you stand up. So, you know, and I can understand the whole class taking it out on him, which it's a shame, but that's high school.
True.
You know, but no, he handled it the best way he could have after having started that stuff when the kid threw a punch. Just, you know,
ignored it.
I appreciate the fear of authority.
True.
I can relate.
And it kind of wins by default. So that was our final Punch Club code. It is all yours.
Yeah.
Next up, we still have two baseball riot codes to give away, and we're giving one of them right now to good old Henry Jones, who is writing in. He says, "Hi, SML Podcast. Been a while since I've written in. Nothing that would be proper to broadcast to a public audience, but let's just say I've had to turn up my adulting to level 10 for a while and haven't had time to listen in. I figured out a way to get shows in while doing the literal thousands of things there is to do in Xenoblade Chronicles X. That means turning down the sweet Japanese, trying way too hard to be cool and failing, but it flips back to awesome music. But it's where my free time goes these days. So you want to know what I love about baseball, besides everything? I love being a fan of the Miami Marlins, a team with no decent sense of color palette. Their stadium is a toilet with neon green insides and the silliest home run feature to boot. The owners and management have no damn idea what they're doing, and they still have two more World Series championships than the Cubs have in the past 100 years. That is a special kind of awesome. In the video game world, I love that baseball is one of the most flexible games. I have literally played over 100 baseball video games. Holy shit, they have over 100 baseball video games?
There's more than that, yeah.
And most of them feel completely different. Regardless of whether you love bases loaded, RBI baseball, or baseball stars the best, they all played differently, had different qualities that were equally attractive. I love that we can have base wars with robots beating the shit out of each other, and way later on down the road, have MLB Power Pros, which turns the sport into a cutesy JRPG where getting a future waifu boosts your stats. It can make LJN publish a good game with Roger Clemens' MVB baseball. It can even flip the world upside down where the most accurate representations are usually not the best, MLB The Show excluded. Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball had the most grotesque character designs and wore its cartoonish style on its sleeve, and it was way better than any of its contemporaries, especially the in-game music, which is the catchiest thing to loop for hours and hours and hours. Have I reached my Griffey quota yet? He was my favorite player as a kid, and I was thrilled to see him in the Hall of Fame. With Griffey as my favorite player and the Mariners owned by Nintendo of America, I'm surprised they weren't my favorite team. Their shade of green wasn't offensive enough, I suppose. Anyway, take care. Henry Jones, Joe Stratman. So,
a man with good stats.
So Joe is getting a copy of Baseball Riot for the PS4 and Vita. And we still have one more code to give away. So if anyone else has a baseball story, write in.
And I'm going to go pee.
Why?
You
couldn't
up
do that during the two things that don't have entries to judge. But now that we're getting to Electronic Super Joy, where we have a very hard decision to make.
Oh, we still have more judge. Oh, I thought you were done with the judging.
No, we got... We got five more emails, all writing in to try to win four copies of Electronic Super Joy.
I want a copy of Electronic Super Joy. Can I write in?
Let's do this.
Can I write in like right now as he's going to be?
No, let's just do this now. I can hold it. Let's go.
All right.
But I want a copy of this.
Sorry, you should have asked before.
You could be like
we
me
just announced that there were four copies of
I'm
the game.
I was unaware.
I just bought it. So
It's worth buying.
I'm probably going to.
But yeah, we have 5 emails and 4 copies of the game to give away. So unfortunately, we are sorry to say one of you will not be getting the code. We apologize. It's just shitty that it winds up like that, but unfortunately, nothing we could do about it. We asked you to email in and tell us about the hardest game you've played. Not just tell us the hardest game, but kind of give us a reason why it was the hardest game.
And mine's easy. Everything I pick up.
First email is from Alan Chan, who says, the hardest game I ever played was Battletoads on the NES. To this day, I think it was the hardest game I ever played. Even with killer ninja reflexes, I couldn't beat the game. Which we have heard quite a bit over the years.
Yeah.
That is a very difficult game.
Well, I beat it on Game Boy.
Doesn't count.
Next one is from Nick Simpson, who says, hardest game I've ever played is easily Battletoads on the NES when I was like 5 or 6. I remember it being tough back then, and that was reinforced once again when I played it in Rare Replay again last fall and still couldn't get through it. Don't worry, neither could I, and it even has fucking rewind and infinite lives in the game. So, yeah, that game ain't fucking around. All right, replay. Trying to keep notes on who says what in here. Next up is Tembo, writing in again. The hardest game I ever played that was also fun and not just frustratingly hard was Dark Souls. I was terrible at it for years and could never progress without getting destroyed until it finally just clicked with me, and now I can't wait to get killed over and over again in Dark Souls 3 in a few months.
When
does
that
come out?
That's a future game programmer right there, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah. Next up, Lana Lokers. I have never wanted to throw a controller more than playing Trials Evolution. That game made me literally scream out loud at points and grip my controller so hard my fingers hurt for days afterwards. I just wanted to beat every level and get every gold. Chris, anything to say on that one?
Yeah, they get one. Because like I legitimately like I reinstalled Trials again and I'm starting to go through and like trying gold stuff again and I'm like, oh my god, like this is the newer one. And even still, like some of the older ones, like I'm convinced they're fucking impossible. Like I'll never be able to fucking beat them. Straight up. I'll just never be able to fucking beat them. The newer one I at least feel like I have a chance. Like sort of, maybe. Yeah. We'll see. I'll let you know if I can actually 100% that game, but I'm not going to hold my breath.
Final email is from Cole. Says, hey, the hardest game I've ever played definitely goes to G Prime Into the Rain. The gameplay itself seems as though it should be simple, and a lot of people complain about the narrator droning on and on, but in reality, there's little actual instruction on what you're supposed to be doing. There's no explanation on why you're picking what faction, and I'm still totally clueless as to what SWIG itself does. Same here. I managed to unlock a few achievements, but I don't know if I even started the first mission yet. I want to like it because it's got some seriously involved backstory that seems really interesting, but you pretty much need to be a rocket scientist to figure out if you're solving the puzzles the way the game intends. A close second goes to Starpoint Gemini 2. I couldn't even figure out how to move the ship in that one. Tutorials are our friends.
Fuck tutorials.
So we have to pick 4 people out of those 5. We have Alan, who couldn't beat Battletoads, even though he has ninja skills.
You know, honestly, if we're going into like the hardest game, I would take it away from the guy who played Dark Souls because he even said it clicked. So he's now good
Dark
at the
Souls
hardest
is,
game.
Dark Souls is fucking brutal, man. Like,
yeah, but he said, but it clicked, and now I'm enjoying it, and I'm good at it.
Maybe Chris, do you have an opinion?
It's just weird because you have to just like figure out which person doesn't get it.
Yeah, which sucks.
Because I can't say not no to one Battletoads guy and yes to the other.
Yeah, exactly.
And G Prime, I agree with.
And I absolutely agree with Trials.
Yeah, so that leaves pretty much Dark Souls.
Dark Souls is fucking tough.
I honestly feel that it, in my mind, it would come down to one of the two Battletoads, but it's hard to pick which one.
Yeah, I can't do
it's
that.
It's too
I
similar.
Yeah.
It's too similar.
There's nothing in their stories that puts one above the other. They both just said, hey, this is fucking hard.
All right, well, what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to hit up David the Rod Sterling from Loot Interactive and see if he could hook us up with either one more code. If he can't, unfortunately, Tembo with Dark Souls, I think we're going to have to eliminate you because it did click with you. Pappy's reasoning makes sense to me, but I am going to try to get one more code so that everybody could get it.
Or the other option is that we talk to the guys at Loot Interactive and see if they can send someone back in time to kill Tembo so they never sends an email in.
True. Or I'll ask David for his opinion. But I guess we can't announce on the show who all gets it. I'll try and figure this out and see if we could get everybody. If not, I am sorry.
Is that all the contests, Joe?
Yeah, that's all the contests.
Go pee.
Okay, go pee. So, Chris, what are you playing?
Diablo. What else is new? I mean, the new season happened, so...
Yeah.
I've been playing Diablo. I started going more into Hearthstone. Got another expansion for that recently.
Nice.
I'm going to finish up getting the... I did the first normal playthrough of the playing against the AI bosses with your own custom decks.
Yeah.
The second portion you have to do is like the class specific things where they just give you a deck and you have to beat the boss. I'm starting those after the podcast, actually.
Nice.
What else? I played some Blood Bowl.
Good times.
Did like one extra match there. What else did I play? I played the new Mojang game. What was the name of that again?
Cobalt.
Played a little bit of Cobalt.
Yeah, I figured we would talk about that one next week since it comes out on the 2nd and there's like 6 other games to discuss this week.
Okay.
God, my crotch is just marinating in sweat right now.
That is horrifying.
Yummy.
This is fucking gross.
Oh, and I started playing Counter-Strike again.
Nice.
Like actually playing Counter-Strike again. Because I got a new monitor. Like I got rid of my old monitor and traded up and got a better one. And the refresh rate is really, really high. And yeah, it looks beautiful. It's like relearning how to play the game again because it's so smooth. Like I never thought that like replacing my monitor was going to be that much of a difference. But holy fuck, it makes that much of a difference. Like,
yeah,
it's really crazy. I have not hooked up my Xbox One to it yet. I'm kind of curious to see what it's going to look like. If I'm going to be able to see like the extra refresh rate with it.
Yeah. You know?
Can you see the pixels? Can you count the pixels?
Not really.
It depends on the game. If it's a pixel
platformer.
Well,
yeah, and the funny thing is too is I got a different graphics card, so like now my native resolution for the screen is like 1920 by 1080. When I run Diablo, it actually runs it in a higher resolution. Like it runs it in like fucking like 20, like 22 something. And then just like bumps it down. So there's actually more detail and more stuff getting drawn. And then it's just kind of like squeezing it into the space of the screen.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like it's nuts. It's really, really nuts. So.
So how many games do we have to talk about today, Joe?
We have 6 games to discuss. Chris was about to mention Cobalt, and I said we would just push that to next week. We could touch on it a little bit, but officially...
No, actually, I'd rather talk about Cobalt next week if we could, because I haven't spent enough time with it.
All right. The first game...
I guess I should play the tutorial.
Yeah, you should, you shithead. First game to talk about is going to be Sparkle 2, developed and published by our friends at 10 Tons Limited. It released... last year sometime for the PS4, and it just came out January 27th on the Xbox One. It is normally $8, but it is on sale right now for gold members for, I think, $6.79, something like that. Like 15% off. So if you're a fan, this is, if you're not familiar with the Sparkle franchise, it's very similar to the Zuma franchise. I believe Sparkle came first, but I'm not sure. It's basically the balls are on a track and you have to shoot balls at the balls to destroy balls.
That's a lot of balls.
It is balls. Tota balls. Totes balls. If you're a fan of the games like that, it's a must own. There's not much else to say. It's fucking Sparkle. It's the marble shooter. It's awesome. And there's cool power-ups. And there's three difficulties with like 85 stages.
A lot of pages.
What's weird is, what's the difference between Sparkle and Zuma?
Developer and publisher.
Okay.
I think Zuma's PopCap and Sparkle's 10 tons.
I mean, game wise, yeah, they're.
Yeah, it's similar. It's
not bad, not bad. And hell, the Zuma, little penny slot machine paid out like $60 to me once. So.
Well, once. Zuma's the enemy in this case. We're fans of Sparkle because they send us.
Yeah, but any game with that style
codes.
That gives me money that I'm cool with.
Yeah. ten tons are awesome. They are awesome. They have been awesome to us. They have been hooking us up with codes for Crimson Land, for Sparkle, for Baseball Riot on both platforms. So I highly recommend, if you are into games like this, hook up 10 tons with your sale because they're cool people.
They're good peeps.
Good peoples.
Dude, Crimson Land alone, man, I've lost so much of my time to that game.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what? I would have absolutely would have loved to see somebody go like, yeah, I got a review copy of like one of your copies of Crimson Land. Fuck that game, because that's hard. Like,
true.
Jesus Christ, man. Like, I tried chasing some of those achievements, and I was just like, oh, my God, like, I can't do this to myself anymore. Like.
Shit's hard. It gets insane later in the game. Next game we have to talk about is called Red Game Without a Great Name. It is released on the 19th and for the PS Vita, a Vita exclusive for $4.99, developed and published by iFunForAll. I believe it started as a mobile game. I don't know. I didn't do enough research on it because I just spent too much time playing it. It's basically kind of like an auto runner, but it's a flying game, side scrolling, kind of like a Gradius style thing, where you're a bird and you need to get from the beginning to the cage at the end while trying to collect three different things on the way. You auto fly to the right. And it starts off easy enough where you just, you know, you drag the bird. I think it's a buzzard or a vulture. You drag it. You touch on it, and then you drag to where you want it to go, and it basically just teleports to that area.
Yeah, so it's got that Aru's Awakening kind of teleport thing going on.
Kind of, mixed with like an auto-running style game, because the bird just flies at a steady pace in one direction. Starts off easy enough. Shit gets hard quick, because obviously spikes start coming into the picture, and you can't touch the spikes. There's boulders that you need to destroy by hitting like a power up and then hitting the boulder with the bird to destroy the brick before it like reforms. Getting the orbs that you have to collect in some of the areas, it can be tough because of my fat chubby fingers not going to where I wanted it to go. That's more a fault with the Vita than it is with the game, so I'm not going to dock at points for that. I know I have fat sausage fingers. There are, as you get further in the game, I again, I'm having a rough time with the game, so I didn't get like super far through it, but they start adding like steam jets that turn the direction of the bird, which can really make things hard. If you try to go to an area that a collectible's in and you run into the steam pipe and it turns you around directly into spikes. And when you teleport the bird, it continues flying in whatever direction it was before. So if it was flying up, it'll continue going up. So you want to make sure that you make it go lower so you have time to breathe as it works its way upward. It is a really, really cool game. The visuals are outstanding. It's basically a red background with all the graphics in black. So very, very stylish looking. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's only $5. So if you don't have fat sausage fingers like me, look into it. Pick it up. Check it out. It's good stuff.
Sausage hands.
Yeah. Nothing from Chris? I'm like trying to give you guys to reply.
I didn't really.
Daddy, would you like some sausages?
I don't
Daddy,
really.
Would you like some sausages?
Other than what you're telling me, there's not. I mean, I didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
I don't have a Vita. Like,
yeah. Pappy, you played Clockwork Tales of Glass and Ink, correct?
Meh.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
Developed and published by Artifex Mundi. It released on the 20th for $9.99 on the Xbox One. It is from the guys who made Nightmares from the Deep that we talked about a couple months ago, who were actually some of the first people to support us getting into the game reviews and shit like that and giveaways.
Yarr.
And they were awesome enough. We gave away how many? I think 6 copies of the game last week, something crazy like that. So, Pappy, tell us about your time with the game.
I did. I enjoyed the shit out of it. No, it's very
explain
similar.
The game. Fucking talk very... about it. Jesus Christ. I have
Let
to talk about 5.
Sentence.
You can talk about 1.
You let me finish a sentence, motherfucker. Maybe I'll tell people about it.
I did talk about it.
I liked it. 2 thumbs up. Bye. So, yeah, it's we can call it a point-and-click adventure. Yeah, that's more or less what it is. It's it was just like those games that my ex-wife had on like her iPad. And it's just, hey, here's the nice plot, and now you got to figure your way out. So, you know, the beginning stages is, oh shit, stuff's broken, you got to fix it. Okay, well, look around the room, click on things, assemble things, you know. It's very intuitive. Like I won't say it holds your hand, but it doesn't do anything stupid like some of those older ones where you had to fucking magically know that this piece of string was going to be needed 18 levels later to fucking, you know, get a mouse. Everything is – you can't move on until you've done all the things in that area. So that's there's no saving shit for later, really. And it's a nice plot. The only thing that threw me off a little bit was, you know, playing the old iPhone games, it's all static pictures. And this one, it's a picture, but then all of a sudden the head moves like it's talking, and it was a little creepy. I have no neck because beard. It's like, you're freaking me out, man. No, I got all the way to the castle, and I'm enjoying myself. I don't think it's going to take super long to beat, but there's replayability. You have to unlock the other guy's story.
Bonus chapter.
Yeah.
And then there are, again, 2 difficulties in there. Achievement horrors, have to play them both. I beat the game already. I had a lot of fun with it. I even found all the little bugs that are strewn about through the game. Those are missable, which is different from Nightmare from the Deep. There was really nothing you could miss in the last one unless you used hints in games. Achievement-wise, you could, but collectibles, you couldn't. These you could. If you moved on to the next area without getting them all, you were out of luck.
Yeah, I think I've gotten all the bugs so far.
There's basically 1 in each area, in each screen.
Yeah.
Some of them are easy to find, some of them not as easy. Like Pappy said, point-and-click adventure, a lot of hidden object puzzles, so very similar to Nightmares from the Deep in that respect, and that there's a lot of hidden object stuff in there. It is noticeably shorter than Nightmares from the Deep. I think Nightmares from the Deep ended up being like, I want to say my first time through was 4 or 5 hours. I think this one was only around 3. Some of the puzzles can be difficult. I thought Nightmares from the Deep, some of the later puzzles were a lot easier than, or not easier, but a lot more intuitive, easier to understand than some of the later ones in this game. So I did struggle on a couple of the later ones, but I ended up getting through it without any real issues. Normal difficulty does have a hint option in there to kind of give you help if you're kind of lost on what you're supposed to do. If you don't use it, there will be a lot of times where you're just looking at the map and seeing gears there that tell you there's stuff to do, and you're kind of like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? But for the most part, it's another fun...
It's actually, like I said, it's pretty intuitive, though. If you're at a room and you're like, I I don't know what the fuck else to do. Go to the next room.
Yeah.
It's almost always that you need to grab something from the next room to come back.
Yeah. I mean, later in the game, there are more options for rooms to go to, so it's not as linear. But either way, if you're into those kind of games, it's another awesome game from Artifex Mundi. And hopefully they keep bringing those games to the Xbox, because they're cool games.
Yeah.
It's something different. Like, it's different from, you know, your usual, like, oh, I'm going to hop in and fucking shoot some people, or I'm going to, you know... It's a good curveball to throw yourself every once in a while.
Yeah, it's a nice one of those decompression games.
Yep.
In between all the heavy shit. Next game to talk about is called Amazing Princess Sarah. It is developed and published by Haruneku Games, and it releases on the 29th. I don't have a price on it. I tried looking it up. I couldn't find it. I'm going to guess like maybe 10, 15 bucks, which is a safe guess when it comes to indies. I really don't know. Sorry, you'll find out tomorrow, I guess. It is, when I first saw it, I thought it was kind of like a Metroidvania-style game. It is very similar in play style, but it is all level-based. So basically side-scrolling action. It's like the older Castlevania games, where you go level to level to level. There is some puzzle-solving in there, minor puzzle-solving, some light RPG elements with leveling up and getting more health and strength, but it's not like you're getting new equipment or armor or anything like that. You're basically just going through the stages, killing things, beating bosses, moving on, and it's fun. I haven't really heard of the game before. There is a lot of boob emphasis in the game. the cover art for the game is very cleavage heavy.
Ridiculous, yeah.
The sprites in the game have some of them have, I want to say, pulsating breasts.
Bounce animation.
Not some of them have bounce, but like the flying,
it's like
ones.
Breathing.
Yeah, they're pulsating, which is funny as shit.
Weird.
It feels like a good classic old school style game with newer elements to keep it fresh. Something I like about it is if you're having a hard time and you just kind of want to grind a bit, you can restart the story over from the beginning and keep your level. So it's kind of,
nice.
It's kind of roguelike in that style where it'll get easier to play through it, but you can voluntarily start over instead of just sucking.
Yay!
So, Pappy, it'd be good for you.
Yeah, let me play the first level 47 times. Boom! Yeah, look at this now. I'm awesome.
It really is a cool game. I'm enjoying it a lot. I want to. This is one of those games that I do want to eventually beat. It does get harder as it goes on, mainly because enemies do more damage. Some of the achievements in the game can be kind of tricky if you're into that. It's just really cool. So the bosses look awesome, too, like gigantic sprites for some of the bosses. It's a cool art style, cool visuals overall, pixel-based, so old-school visuals. It's just a really solid game, and I wish I had the price, because like if it's 10 bucks or less, grab it. It's a no-brainer. If it's 15, maybe wait for a sale, if that makes sense. If you got the expendable money, it's cool. Do it.
Just buy all the things.
Yeah. Next game is Level 22 Gary's Misadventures. It is
looks silly.
It is very silly. Another pixel-based game, but this one is like a stealth game that is you basically, it was your birthday and you went out and celebrated and you got shit-faced and you woke up late and you need to sneak into work without being spotted. So the stealth comes around sneaking through each of the 22 levels.
That's a lot of fucking work to get through.
Not getting caught.
That's like, I mean, where the fuck does this guy work?
Well, he works on the 22nd floor of a building.
Couldn't you just take the elevator?
There's no elevator. It's all steps.
Jesus, what a shitty place to work.
Yeah. The game starts off easy enough. It gets difficult fast, and like, I don't want to say it's an impossible kind of difficult, because it's very trial and error kind of difficult. But once you kind of get what you need to do and how to do it, it's very easy to get through the levels a second time through, as long as you remember. But that first time is going to be rough. You're going to get caught a lot. And
so it's kind of a trial and error.
Yeah, which I just said.
What?
Each stage has a safe that you can unlock. Some of them are hidden behind, like, you know, hidden walls, or in a, you know, a secret room, or behind a vending machine. And to unlock them, you need a 6-digit code, which the first stage, easy enough, there's a 6-digit code on one of the pillars in the parking lot. After that, they get incredibly difficult to try and actually find all the numbers, and then to figure out the order that they go in. Like, there might be a poster that has 06 or something, and that's just two of the 6 digits. Or you might need to examine paintings that have letters on them that you would need to correspond to, like, a phone pad and what number it would link up to.
Hey, that's what's in the safe.
Puzzle pieces.
And why?
You collect each of the puzzle pieces, and it forms a picture of the boss of that level.
All right, so I'm just going to go to YouTube and watch someone else play the game, write down all the codes.
The game was on Steam previously, originally released by No Ego Games. The Xbox version is being released by Moving Player. I'm not sure if No Ego is still involved with the game or not, because I've had zero luck actually contacting them. Moving Player was nice enough to hook us up with the copy of the game. I don't have a price for this one either. I try to look it up right now. Like, the game is supposed to release in 3 hours, and I still can't find a price for it. I'm going to guess $10 again, like maybe $8 to $10. It's, if you've ever played Spy Chameleon on the Xbox One, it's very similar to that, but pixel style and funny as fuck. Like, it is, there is a lot of funny shit in the game. Each stage also has a hidden collectible, and each one is a parody toy that you have to collect. Like, it'll be like a Wolverine style doll, or like Bender, but it'll be like Fender.
Yeah, and this whole time you're trying to find all that shit while, you know, if anyone
while
sees
not
you,
being
you're fired.
Spotted. And yeah. Each stage, like, they're introducing new elements. Like, you could hold a newspaper over your face and just stand still, and no one will recognize you.
Yeah, no, I'm going to, this is the kind of game I'm going to watch someone else play.
There are security guards who won't be fooled by a newspaper, but they can be distracted with donuts.
That's fair.
There are boxes that you can crawl in and move around, all Solid Snake style, which there's a fake Solid Snake in the game as well, a Solid Snake action figure. One stage, you have to get in a box and let a delivery boy carry you to the exit.
Yep.
There's different objects and accessories you can use. Like, you could pick up a book and knock people out with it, or you can get a rubber band gun and shoot someone to distract them and make them look in a different direction. It's really, really funny. This is probably one of the cooler games of the week, but it is difficult to really get through it the first time. It's definitely worth picking up, though. So this is another one. It releases, it should be out by the time you hear this, releases on the 29th. So there's another cool one to check out. And then our final game is called AIPD, Artificial Intelligence Police Department. It is developed by Blazing Badger, which an amazing
Badger,
development
Badger,
studio
Badger,
name.
Badger.
And
Mushroom.
It is published by Mamor Games. It releases again on the 29th. And this one I do have a price for, and it's only going to be $10. And it is basically a customizable Geometry Wars. Twin stick shooter. So it's a lot like Polychromatic, Geometry Wars, stuff like that. And you, like, every time you play an arcade after each stage, there are two options to pick, which increase your multiplier, where, like, the walls could be electric, or certain ships will have guardians, or your weapons do less damage, or other enemies are stronger. Each time you play arcade, it's different because of what options you choose. But the scores can be astronomically huge because each, you know, every time you kill an enemy, they drop orbs, and those increase your multiplier. In between stages, you pick different different modifiers that increase your multiplier. If you get hit, you do have a life bar, so it's not just one hit and you're dead. But once you are out of life, it is game over. It's only one life. There is also kind of like a make-your-own style game mode to it, where you can select the different modifiers and everything else. It is ridiculously cool how they put a new spin on the twin stick shooter and made it so customizable and so replayable by having it change constantly. There's different weapons to unlock that all perform markedly differently. It's just really, really cool stuff, especially for only $10. So Chris, you would love it.
Yeah, I love twin stick shooters, so that's right up my alley.
Yeah, it's,
you guys have fun with that. I'm gonna go back to Clockwork Tales.
we are lucky to have had an awesome week of games to check out, and it's a great time to be an Xbox owner with all these games coming out, or a Vita owner with Red Game Without a Great Name.
Yeah, or a PS4 owner
without a hero
catching on fire.
I was trying to think of something funny, but yeah, both of you guys are correct.
Well, they had a pretty good sale last week too. The flash
was
sale.
Was it a fire sale? I need to shower. I'm getting cranky.
You okay there?
Joe, did you lose again?
Another game that we didn't get to review this week, but I want to talk about, is a game that just came out called Roblox for the Xbox One.
Oh, God.
Which kind of, it's a free-to-play game, which I can understand the game is going to have microtransactions.
Oh, is this the one that you tweeted about?
Yeah, that you could, there's like 15 different mini-games in it, although more are supposed to be coming. They're all user-created, so it's a lot like Project Spark in that it's all user-created stuff. The in-game, the virtual currency you can get is pretty much to unlock stuff in the mini-games or to get power-ups or customize your avatar in the game, shit like that. So it's not required at all. I am fairly disgusted, though, by the fact that there is an in-game currency option that you can spend $200 on. $199.99.
How much in-game currency does it get you? Like 5 qubits?
I don't even remember. Like 22,700. It's just that there's an option that high is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I don't like that because, you know, a lot of these free-to-play, you know, make money on the back-end games, they rely on kids getting their parents' money and be like, hey, Mom, can I buy? Yeah, sure.
Like there were,
hey, Mom, can I buy some in-game currency? Yeah, sure. Why is there a $200 fucking charge on my credit card?
Well, no, it's something that small isn't going to get noticed. It's the story that popped up the other week where some kid spent $8,000 in FIFA in-game currency.
No, I'm not saying it's going to get picked up as a story, but it's going to tick off a parent.
Yeah, like just that high. I can understand having in-game currency options like a $20 bundle, $25 bundle, $50 bundle.
I honestly say keep it under 20.
I can understand going up to 50 because some people have that expendable income and they just like there were stories about UFC fighters getting hooked on Game of War and they don't want to buy 40, $20 packs. They just want to buy a $50 pack or even a $100 pack, I think is already over the line. But to have a $200 virtual currency pack can fuck off.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that was exactly how I worded it on Twitter. I said a $200 pack, fuck off. That's just disgusting in my eyes. It's borderline criminal that I think that they would have such a high valued currency pack. Fucking it doesn't even get you anything real. It's just shit.
I'm just going back to watching this flat beat video while you complain.
There is a little bit of news to cover. The Games with Gold for Xbox for next month have been announced. Xbox One is going to be getting the game Hand of Fate, which we covered on the show. That is a $20 value that you're getting free. They're also getting Styx Master of Shadows, a $30 value, so pretty good there, except that I have them already. The Xbox 360 gamers, again, both of these will be compatible with the Xbox One. Sacred Citadel, which is a $10 game. It does have DLC with it. I actually covered this one back with Save Continue back in those days.
Back in the day.
And that'll be free from the 1st through the 15th. And then on the 16th, you can get Gears of War 2, which officially makes all four Gears of War games have been games with gold.
Yow.
So you, the whole collection. Not to be
I don't
out-
have any of them.
Really? Well, I gave you codes for all of them, except two, which now you can get.
Maybe I did redeem them then. Maybe I didn't install them yet. That was.
Yeah, I just uninstalled like 20 games.
You're the worst. Not to be outdone, PlayStation has announced their free games for PlayStation PS Plus next month. The PlayStation 3 has a pretty solid two-pack here of Grid Auto Sport and Persona 4 Arena Ultimax.
Persona 4 Erotica.
So Persona fighting game and Grid Auto Sport, which is an awesome racing game. So really fucking solid there. The PS4 is getting Helldivers Democracy Strikes Back, which is a cool top-down shooter action kind of game, like the top-down stages in Contra 3. And that's actually cross-buy across the PS3 and the Vita as well. And then the PS4 is also getting Nom Nom Galaxy, which I don't really know anything about.
Nom
nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom nom. You're just going to let me keep going, weren't you?
Yeah. I miss that song so much.
He's like, I want to hear the song.
I'm going to make believe I'm playing it on guitar since I can't do it in Rock Band 4. And then the Vita, in addition to Helldivers, is also getting Lemmings Touch. And friend of the show, Eddie Lee, Nova 111.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool.
So all systems look to be getting some solid games
all
next month.
All systems go.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go. Once Pokemon Go happens.
How about Pikachu Detective?
I'm going to back the online petition that someone did for that.
Oh,
to get Danny DeVito.
I'm 100% in favor of that. But he's got to play as Frank.
Oh, God. Well, I don't think they're going
to
make it M-rated.
So I can go get drunk.
I don't think they're going to make a Pikachu game M-rated. It'd be funny, but I don't think it'll happen.
Well, I'm sure someone will eventually get gameplay footage and just dub it for us.
Yeah. But, yeah, that kind of wraps up everything we have to talk about.
Yay!
We are going to have a bunch of episodes over the next week on Saturday. As long as things don't fall apart, we're going to be talking with somebody from Press Play. You might know them as the people behind Kalimba and Max Curse of the Brotherhood. And working on the upcoming title, Project Knoxville, that I was lucky enough to play the prototype of. Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Ted Wilson of Stellar J Studios to talk about their upcoming Xbox One brawler, arena fighter kind of thing, Dad Beat Dads, in which...
Yeah, which
what?
Joe and I will be trying that out here this weekend.
Absolutely insane. And then
there's no football on Sunday, Joe. We can do things.
Oh yeah, we can. We need to play more of that other game we got, me, you, and Shiz.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I fucking blew the load there, sorry. Gotta play more of that game thing.
I know we're not really supposed to talk about it until it releases, but Fortified. Yeah. We gotta play more Fortified.
I think we're allowed to say the name.
True. And then next Thursday. Unfortunately, Chris, you're not going to be here, but we're going to try hopefully having you Skype in if you have the time.
Hopefully. It all depends on... So next Thursday is when it starts, where I have a gig every single Thursday.
Yeah.
For all of February. So what I'm going to attempt to try and do, I have to try and see how much data I'm going to end up taking up if I make a Skype call from, you know, the majority of the podcast, or at least maybe a portion of it.
Yeah, get you in for like a half hour, an hour, you'll be like our interview for the week.
Yeah, almost.
Which we do have some guests lined up for next Thursday, but not all of them are confirmed yet, so I don't want to blow any surprises yet. But if
don't blow any surprises. So if you don't want to know about the surprise, don't get on Joe's Twitter.
Basically.
If you follow the show, you know who our favorite guests are.
And next week is our
three-year anniversary.
Yep. Man, that's pretty much close to my 18-month anniversary.
Yeah, it's been a hefty run, and it's neat that even with all the time we had off last year, we're still averaging more than one a week because of how busy we've been getting lately.
And the good news is, Joe, look at the metrics, and we're doing very well.
We are routinely increasing in views and YouTube subscribers and Twitter followers and
things, numbers.
So thank you guys. People. Thank you for listening.
We've been lucking out with coverage as well, because we've had all these amazing developers on. I was excited to get John on tonight from Roll 7 because I was a huge fan of Ali. And yeah, Not Ollie, a Hero Ollie looked awesome. Insane. So I was thrilled when I messaged them on Tuesday, and he's like, let's do it on Thursday. And that, honestly, that happened in 2 days. And my interview today was based on the fact that I got the code a half hour before I first talked with John today, before we started recording. We were actually going to start at 7, but after he went to some kind of, I think, a concert or gig tonight, and he was like, hey, we could talk in another half hour. And that's when Chris walked in, and then Pappy got in. We started at like 7:45 today, and it worked out perfectly that we didn't even start yet. And Pappy's like, I'm hooking up my mic now.
Yeah. And now we've been recording for 2 hours.
That's how quick of a turnaround we had.
Truth.
And we have
truth to which, the turnaround or Joe should shut the fuck up.
Hey, you know what I could do? Hey, Pappy, I'm going to hang up on you. So, Chris, do you have any final words for the week?
Oh, that was... Why you gotta be so rude?
Okay, I'll call him back.
See, I was actually going to text you, SML Podcast 10 out of 10 would get hung up on again.
That's the power I have on this show.
10 out of 10 would hang up on again.
I guess we'll talk about more sentimental shit next week for our 3-year anniversary.
Yeah, that'll be for the 3 years.
So, Pappy, do you have any final words?
Oh, dude.
Hung up on him again. Good night, everybody.